The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1420 The Answer or Salem Media Group.
When it comes to your investments and retirement, in this economy, it's important to be smart. And with the Smart Investor Hour heard right here on AM 1420 The Answer, you'll get both smart and intelligent information you'll need to help with your investing. So sit back, listen, and learn with your host of the Smart Investor Hour, Tim Hayes of RBC Wealth Management.
Good afternoon, everybody. It was a chilly day in April, but if you're not used to that, you shouldn't be living in Ohio. Anyway, a couple things to think about. Life has taught me never expect anything from anyone. Negative, but that's the truth. Life is short, and what we have to do most must be done in the now. Enjoy the little things in life, because one day you'll look back and realize they were the big things. I just thought about that the other day. If you want to live a happy life, tie it to a goal, not to people or things. And then finally, life is not a problem to be solved, but a reality to be experienced. There we go. All right, folks. It was some week, huh? Markets were down and interest rates were up. And what do we do when interest rates are up? We look at fixed income, okay? So, we actually, rates kind of surprised me. And I thought 4.5 would be a top in the 10-year treasury. And we're now, tell you how great I am, we're now at 4.60, 4.6, that is. So, they broke the resistance, the overhead. So the next overhead is about 5%. So we'll see what happens going forward there. I think, going back to what I've been saying for some time now, is when yields are up, is when you buy the yield instrument. Okay, if you're trying to top tick yields, good luck, because I don't know if anybody's ever done it. And we'll leave it at that. Now's the time. We always talk about, if you go to WHK's webpage, go to local podcast down to the Smart Investor Show. You can go directly to my webpage. You can get the dividend growth, portfolio, the prime income list. I'm going to talk about bonds a little bit next week because I think they're becoming more, I haven't talked about bonds in a long, long time simply because of the fact that when you buy bonds when the yields are down where they were, you're asking to lose money. And for the last 3 years, bonds have been a pretty tough place to be. And, that's supposed to be your safe money, Somebody said, well, I'll always get my money back if I buy a bond or a CD, and that's correct. However, if you have to cash that in early, you take a loss just like you do in a stock, all right? So there we go. I had a couple questions that I'm going to try to answer. These were questions that came in before the show. They were emailed to me, so I'll try to get to those sometime today. But, I think the big things, I was reading Lori Calvacina, who is our head strategist, and I was reading her stuff, and I think the big things you need to know is that geopolitical concerns are spiking at a time when stocks already, were in a pullback. That keeps being said and said over and over again. And I think equity investors appear to have been baking in rising geopolitical risks by buying the energy sector and actually oil. So we'll see what happens from there. But I also think that, I won't go into that. Look, when interest rates go up, people don't want to pay up for long-term assets, which means stocks go down, okay? So I think there's a rotation trade has got a little bit more complicated You know, we've been talking about that for some time, and the best question we got is the inflation data means for, you know, what does the inflation data mean for the leadership rotation in the equity markets? Now, everybody's into gold, and I would, you know, I talked about gold a couple weeks ago and then said it again last week. I don't know if I'd be buying gold right now, all right? And what I'm talking about, gold stocks, okay? So I just think, you know, you want to be careful because it's spiked, all right? I had some people call me Friday and say, you know, they listen to your show, and, you know, I bought, you know, chips. And I said, hey, I've been saying be cool with, you know, calm down with chips, all right, because they've come a long way. Some of the other technology stocks too. So anyway, I think people hear stuff and then they think it just goes on forever. You know, there's some timing that has to go with this. So I think since the Silicon Valley Bank Corp thing, the large cap growth value trade and the performance of the top 10 names in the S&P relative to the rest of the market has been moving more or less in sync. All right. With trends in the 10-year yield, we think this is part due to better balance sheets in the biggest growth stocks, but it's worth noting that other things besides interest rates and balance sheets could drive the rotation trades. For example, you know, the GDP core forecast has been moving up quite quickly and stands at 2.2% for 2024. That's still a little bit below average, but the GDP is trending above average for large caps and in the growth area. So it might be, you know, a tough scenario for different sectors. One thing we've been noticing is that companies have been keeping expectations low on the earnings front. I think the Fed's scaring them a little bit, you know, and keeping their interest rates where they are. So we've noticed the decline in bottom-up EPS forecasts or earnings per share forecasts for the S&P. It's been milder than what we typically see. Okay, so that's, you know, when you're not seeing the bottoms up forecast, we're seeing a decline in it, so that's not good. So, second, downward guidance has far outpaced neutral and upward guidance in the recent quarters, and that is something. You know, look, I'm seeing a lot of stocks go down $6, $7, $8, and a lot of small caps going down 20-25%. Actually, they're micro caps, and that's usually not a good sign for the overall market. All right, so you got to keep that in mind. And I mean, you know, the bullish percent went down what 14% over the last 2 weeks. So, but our valuation model suggests some modest downside risk to stock market if we don't get cuts, and a more significant hit if we get rate hikes. Yeah, I said hikes. Two Fed people talked about rate hikes this last week, and they whacked a couple of the big cap growth names pretty hard. But I think, you know, the other thing is that small caps may be stuck in a holding pattern for a while, so it might be a good time to get our small cap list and start to do your homework. If you're working with me, I've already done the homework. But the other thing that really kind of bugs me, because I'm a Republican, but as Biden has closed the gap with Trump in the betting markets, now this is where people are putting money on the presidential campaign, okay? And don't call me. I got a lot of calls and emails about this last week, or 2 weeks ago when I said it, but there's a lot of shifting dynamics in the race for the White House over the last few weeks, so I don't want to spend much time with it, but you know, when people are betting, they're putting their money up, okay? So it's not just, hey, you know, it's somebody, you know, a talking head on TV. They're betting, okay? And there's, in Iowa, there's a poll out there that you can bet on. So it's even Steven right at the moment. So we'll see what happens. The other thing that bugs me is that U.S. equity flows, for the first week, we had our first week 3 weeks ago, I announced it on the air, of positive money coming into the market. It's gone. It's fizzled. So it's gone. So we had 2 weeks of positive flow. We haven't had positive flow, but for 2 weeks in a year and a half. If the market breaks out to a new high. So I guess the question is, what happens when it does? All right. So I think right now, one of the things that, you know, it's going to set us back a little bit is profit margin expectations are a bit high. You know, we retreated 4.5% from the all-time high. And just remember, you know, last October, we were talking about the quadrant balance indicator being totally oversold. And we're up 27% from there. Okay, that's a big move, folks. All right, so the fact that we're pulling back that shouldn't surprise anybody. But I think, you know, some profit expectations are pretty high right now. But look, one of the things that everybody's talking about is the Fed. The Fed this, the Fed this, the Fed that. It's one, you know, don't fight the Fed is one of the oldest Wall Street sayings there is. Okay, and the U.S. Central Bank is an incredibly powerful institution that can exert influence on essentially any U.S.-denominated asset. For all its power, though, we believe the Fed is widely misunderstood. When it comes to the Fed, the default view of many investors often seems to be that high rates are bad and low rates are good, and that the central bank is nearly omnipotent, okay, particularly when it comes to crisis management. You know, so, look, we believe there's some element of truth to those statements, and we also think that they fall far short of reality. So the financial press tends to portray the current level of Fed rates as high, with rate cuts being the key to letting good times roll. And it's true that lower interest rates tend to push the price of assets up, such as stocks, bonds, and real estate, et cetera. But largely, this is a one-time effect, and it's a shot of adrenaline to securities prices is what it is. But, you know, there is likely to be excellent news for a short-term or leveraged investor. But for a long-term investor, the difference is largely one of timing. Okay, so the investment portfolio will likely produce the same or substantially similar lifetime cash flows under either interest rate regime. But the low rates lead to ascribe a higher current value to the future gains. So we think that recognition of future earnings is absolute negative for investors who are still contributing to their investment portfolios. All right. So what we're saying is you're paying too much by, you know, lowering the interest rates. You're paying too much for the assets now. OK, so there are other mixed impacts to lower interest rates and you know, they can contribute to economic growth and may lead to higher earnings multiples on some assets. But they also reduce the investment income on dividends and new investments. So, look, low rates come at a higher cost than people anticipate. So it's good, but how good is it? And I'll just get back to this. It's the economy, pure and simple, okay? Economy stupid, right? That's what one of our great Democratic quotes says. And the point is that if the economy's doing well with interest rates where they are, you know, you don't want to get crazy, especially with gold breaking out. All right. So I think, look, the Fed is undoubtedly a powerful global institution. However, the discourse on the central bank too often becomes cheerleading for low rates while emphasizing the Fed's near magical powers. And a more nuanced reading of the institution's policies make clear that the higher rates are not to be feared, and that Fed support can only go so far in times of turmoil. Okay, so just think about that for a while and take it from there. Look, the major indexes have moved to new high ground a couple weeks ago, and you know, everybody was talking about we had further to run, and at 23 times earnings, you know, we've made a sizable down payment on whatever rate cuts the Fed has. So just the anticipation of the rate cuts, this is how powerful the Fed is, the market's run up that far. So look, central banks will have to balance a policy for some time to come to push inflation lower. It's that simple. So it appears that equity investors were, you know, just saw clear sailing ahead. But when you break out, okay, and I call this a base. Most people call it a bear market, but, you know, and we did go down 20%, and we came back up, and we broke through to a new high. And when that happens, you usually pull back. Okay, people say, I can't buy it, too high. And it pulls back. And I would suggest that breaking out of the base is a very powerful thing. That's what happened with gold just recently. Out of a 15-year base, gold broke out after 15 years of going sideways. It down a little bit, all right? So these are powerful forces. That means there's no real overhead, okay? So what will they do? They'll probably either pull back or go sideways for a while. And if they go sideways, that's a very, very positive scenario. Now, a 4% pullback is not much. 4.5% pullback in a couple of weeks is not much. So, look, the Fed needs to see that the inflation rate moves closer to what they, you know, that 2% target that they have, the dot plot type of thing. So, you know, it's something to think about and keep in the back of your head. But I think it's important, you know, I think it's very, very important that you understand that the bull market is not over, all right? We are in a secular bull market, and I still think we have 7, maybe 10 years to go in this market, and I still think it's got a lot of way to go. And you should be, you know, when yields are up, as they are right now, you should be buying the yield instruments. That's how it works, okay? When yields are down, you should leave them alone, all right? So yields are up. We broke through 4.5%. So, you know, if you get a rally to 4.7, 4.8, which I don't know if you will or not, but, you know, use it to buy yield instruments. What are yield instruments? Bonds, CDs, dividend growth stocks, the prime income list, okay? That's the way it works. It's a benefit. By the way, somebody asked me about CDs the other day, and I want to tell you, we have one of the biggest retail CD desks there is, and we also have two of the best traders I know. You know, I was buying a bunch of, I was going to buy a bunch of CDs the other day, and they said, hey, don't do that, and I said, why? He said, buy these, and, you know, they were 5%, and I got a 5.35 from a new issue, so... They're very good at our desk. So if you're buying CDs, that's a good thing. Our municipal bond desk is quite good too, by the way. So this is a time when yields are up now. Okay, bonds are down. That's how you know, buy low, sell high, right? So we'll take it from there. You know, I think it's important in my particular thought process that when you use this type of strategy, I think it's good. And I'm going to talk about dividend growth again ad nauseum. I'm going to continue to talk about it for some time to come, simply because you have an opportunity. You may not present itself. You know, you may not be making your money today or tomorrow, but you'll be getting a nice dividend while you wait. And that dividend will be growing, or the prime income list, it'll be dividends for now. Okay. So if you're retired, the prime income list might be a place to look, all right? Remember, dividends are taxed at a lower rate than CDs or bonds. You know, CD or bonds are regular income. Dividends are 15%, okay? So that's why we push dividends, because nobody likes to pay taxes. And if I think if we have a certain guy get back into the White House, I think our taxes are all going to go up, right? So there we go. We'll continue to talk about that. Now, we talked about banks a while back. You know what? Before we go into banks, let's take a break, and we'll be right back. This is the Smart Investor Show. I'm Tim Hayes. Stay tuned.
Serves 100 ships a day, lonely sailors. past the tunnel.
So good to be back in studio with our friend Bill Gardner from Empire Window Company. Now that the spring and the summer is on its way, you don't want to lose all of your cold air. Get those energy efficient windows from Empire Window Company. Bill, are you giving away free windows?
Yes, we're giving away free windows.
What?
We actually have buy two, get two at this time. There's no limit. You're going to get a great quality window, an energy efficient window, professional install from installers that do this every day.
When it comes time to flip that air conditioning on, you want to make sure that you are energy efficient.
Windows can help year round. They help with heating, cooling, sound, fading. So any time of year is a great time to get them. Now is a perfect time to get them. I mean, you have the nice weather around the corner. You want to keep the air in, but you also want a window that operates if you want to open them up for a nice breeze.
And Bill, in addition to buying two and getting two free, you're offering great financing options too, aren't you?
Right now, we're offering no interest, no payments for 24 months. So free windows and free money.
That's a pretty good deal. Free windows and free money. And all you've got to do to claim all of that is call that phone number, 855-76-EMPIRE. And why do people call Empire Window Company, Bill?
Because they deserve a fair price.
They sure do.
This is Dennis Prager, and now a truly exciting new benefit. My monthly online video get-together for Pragertopia Plus members only. For an hour each month, get an exclusive chance to ask me anything. I'll be answering your questions. I've never done this. Submit your questions for me at Pragertopia.com. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to Pragertopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
At RBC Wealth Management, we are proud of our reputation for putting clients' interests first. Our steadfast commitment to helping clients achieve their financial goals includes giving back to the communities we serve. Through supporting youth education, human services, and the arts, we hope to make tomorrow better for everyone. Call Tim Hayes at 216-774-8906. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC, member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC.
Okay, little Pablo Cruz there. Get going. Lenny's been hot the last couple of weeks with some good tunes. Anyway, Lenny, by the way, is my technical guy. So I just wanted to follow up a little bit because about a month ago I talked about the banks and they really made a big run. Okay, you know, a certain bank was at 186, went straight to a 200. So we had kind of a mixed bag. So what we look at is net, a few different things, and we'll just go over that. Net interest income. A couple of the major banks saw it increasing. A couple of the major banks saw it declining. And I would suggest that overall, it looks like you want to stay with the quality names. Although I did see a lot of regional banks when I did my charts today. Utilities too. So I don't know what that means, but, and then there's non-interest income and the core interest, non-interest income was up 9.1% for a lot of, for all the big banks that reported last week and increased 28% sequentially. So that's good. I mean, that's positive stuff for the banks. The operating expenses, their core stuff, non-interest expenses increased sequentially a year, over a year-to-year basis. So on average, it was up 5.5% and increased about 4.3% year-over-year basis. The primary driver of the non-interest expense continues to be wages and tech. So that's, you know, that's the area that people are having problems with across the board. And credit quality. Now, we continue to believe the rather poor credit oftentimes leads to a liquidity event that topples banks. After today's or Friday's results from, you know, some of the major banks, we believe credit has remained resilient and is healthy at this point. So non-performing assets and net charge-offs remain well below historical levels, though we've seen some credit quality start to normalize, just a little bit of it, all right? So, and I can go into details on that, but I just think it's important. So what I'm saying is the banks are okay, all right? So a lot of people are starting to, you know, sell the banks and saying, you know, something's going on. Look, when interest rates go up, the spread that the banks make go up. They make more money. So when they make a loan, they make more money. Now, the question is, where do you loan money? Okay, the real estate people are not buying. The pandemic kind of killed the downtown real estate for a while. So I'm sure they can find people who want money. Everybody always looking for money, all right? Just as simple as that. I've been talking about gold a little bit, and actually I was talking about gold mining equities, and I think if you're worried about growth stocks and you look to diversify, I don't know if I'd be buying, you know, today or tomorrow, okay? But look, there's been usually gold miners and gold price go hand in hand. And we've had the gold miners have been, you know, well below the price of gold for some time now. I don't know why that is. I know the people from Van Eck talked about it, and I didn't have a clue what he was talking about. I listened closely. But he had a theory that just was over my head, I guess. You know, my head's not in the cloud or anything like that. But look, I think that there's been some shaky performance, and you know, because interest rates are going up. And when interest rates go up, long-term assets go down. So gold mining stocks have become a source of dividend income. Believe it or not, they've grown rapidly over the last several years. And so I think that's a really good idea. I don't know if you, you know, two things I would suggest. The global mining stocks, all right, and the basic material stocks are looking good. Aluminum's blown out to the upside. And that's, I think they're going to cut off Russia. And, you know, Russia has, I think Alcoa had to, you know, shut down a whole bunch of Russian plants a while back. So it'll be interesting to see. But what we did was we put out our gold mining best ideas or global mining best ideas. We added two this week, which were last week, I think, which I think are really good ideas. But it's a great report, and it talks about, you know, which stocks we would buy in which areas. And it's worth reading, definitely worth reading. So it's just the global mining best ideas for the second quarter of 2024, and it's got stuff for, you know, copper, uranium, precious metals, fertilizers, et cetera, et cetera. All right, I think that's a great idea, by the way. With most of these, though, they haven't moved with gold. Gold's made a 12% move in like 8 days, and I think, you know, gold, you want to, let it come back to you. Gold stocks, I think there's a couple here and there that you can, you know, go through, because if they're that far behind gold, if gold just pulls back to where it broke out from, which I don't think it's going to, by the way, because the demand's there. Look, you know, when you have stuff like, you know, Iran, Iraq, and Israel and Ukraine and, you know, that type of stuff going on, usually gold's a safe haven as well as treasury bonds. And we saw a little bit of that in treasuries just recently. But look, I think the other thing, the people ask me about rates, and like, I'm not that good. Rob Schleimer talked about, he thinks, you know, the rates are a little bit overbought now. But if you look at the momentum figures on the S&P 500, it's really overbought. On a weekly basis, on a daily basis, you're still, you know, there. And we're about halfway down the pike on the quadrant balance oscillator. So that's his overbought, oversold thing. It's you know, it's usually good when you have positive weekly momentum. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But, in the short term, the S&P 500 has become, you know, the momentum is becoming oversold. So just keep that in the back of your head. And I think if you look at the 10-year yield and we look at the RSI momentum, it's becoming somewhat overbought. So, you know, people are asking me, everybody's asking me about the SOX index. And I love semiconductors. I don't like them for about two more weeks. And energy was a noted laggard, and I like energy stocks. I don't know how much they have on the upside, but I don't think energy's going away anytime soon. But it is interesting that you have natural gas where it is, and oil, you know, breaking out of a downtrend. You would think that natural gas would follow suit, but I mean, we probably have 400 or 500 years of natural gas out there, from what I'm told. So we'll see what happens. But I do think the foreign markets are a place that you got to pay attention to because they're cheap. Now, we don't have any relative performance move yet, okay? And we're watching that. But, you know, like I said last week, I don't think we had the ARC built the day it started raining. The ARC was already built, okay? So keep that in mind. So I think it's a time of transition, and some of the interest or the inflation pressures are starting to fade. Whether they'll fade completely, we don't know, but we do have a, you know, a top 30 global ideas for the year, and there'll come a time when that will be something that you want to pay very, very close attention to, simply because of the fact that they're cheap. They're a lot cheaper than we are. So we, as in the United States. So, you know, time flies and complexity reigns. Taking measure near the midpoint of a decade, you know, you're 4 years into the 2020s, and it seems like the markets are more challenging and confusing, not less, than when the decade started. And so as we approach the midpoint of the decade, the resiliency of investors to exhibit what they have is very appreciable, I think. They have been required to navigate a global pandemic just months into the start of the decade, the ensuing inflation spike, and ultimately the fastest rate hike cycle on record in the United States. And that says nothing of the double specter of a recession and a burgeoning, you know, burgeoning government debt. And around the world, it seems to be hovering over the collective shoulder of market participants. There's a war in Ukraine. There's unrest in Israel and Gaza. You know, Iraq, Iran joining the fray. I mean, it's crazy. And the flow of money into equities is the lowest we've seen it in a long, long time. Yet we hit a new high. You know, no matter what you say, the most bullish thing anything you own can do is go up in price. And, you know, you can downplay it. I had a gentleman I had breakfast with about 2 weeks ago, and he's a great guy. And he was so negative. He was so negative. I thought, you know, and I just told him, I said, you know, I took a bite of my eggs and I said, you know, when you're feeling this way, you know, sometime after you feel this way for a couple of weeks, you should go out and buy a whole bunch of stocks. And he looked at me and I thought he was going to jump off his over the table at me. But anyway, let's take a break. We'll be right back. This is Smart Investor Show. Stay tuned.
Hugh Hewitt for Town Hall Review. If you're like me, you want more than just facts. You want insight from people you trust. People like Dennis Prager, Larry Elder, Mike Gallagher, and of course me, your host each week on the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt, a weekly roundup of the news. Tune in each week and visit our website at townhallreview.com, where we give you what you need in today's fast-changing world. That's townhallreview.com.
Saturday and Sunday at 5 a.m. on AM 1420, The Answer.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Ohio Army National Guard. Aired by the Ohio Association of Broadcasters and this station.
When rolling over your 401k, it's easy to get lost. Look to the experienced, knowledgeable financial advisors from RBC Wealth Management to guide you through the whole 401k rollover process. It's all part of designing a plan that's tailored to your unique investment needs. Call Tim Hayes at 216-774-8906. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC. Member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC.
Just saying, you've been through a lot in the first 4 years of this decade. I mean, more than anybody could probably ever, you would think this would happen over two or three decades. But look, returns this decade have been quite strong despite being volatile. You did have a 20% correction in 2018. We rallied, and then 2020 had a 37% correction, and then we rallied, and then 2022 we had another correction due to the raising interest rates, and so it's been tough. But the market's at a new high, and as much as your stomach turned, and I'm sure it has, okay, watching this, believe me, from my side of the table is absolutely no fun. From your side of the table, it's probably whatever. But look. With the S&P 500 is now doubled from the pandemic lows. It's up 59% since the December 31st, 2019. So, however, you look beyond the index returns, you notice that tech is the only sector to outperform the S&P by a wide margin, by the way. And it's been one of the more disconcerting features of the 2020s because investors that have not been overweight tech, and more specifically large cap tech, have underperformed the market. And as a result, the S&P 500 has left some people behind. Now, I was talking with a couple clients this week, and we talked about the S&P 500. And there's a certain person on CNBC that keeps talking about the S&P 500, put your money in there. Well, if you would have bought that in 2000, you wouldn't have seen the light of day till 2016. And during that period of time, you would have had two 50% corrections that you would have dealt with. Now, that's not my idea of having fun. So I think that the other side of that is having such a narrow market that, you're not having any fun either, unless you're in this, six or seven stocks, which are starting to give it up a little bit. Okay. So look, information technologies, energy's been number two. This is since December 31st of 2019. Energy has been one of the top producers, okay? And we said that on the show. In 2021, we said to buy energy. I bought energy, and a lot of people, my clients did not, and which is whatever. And then we talked about communication services being very, very oversold, and it took off. And I missed that one, unfortunately. Industrials have been going very, very well. Now, what's interesting is since the March 2020 low, okay, technology's up 305, energy's up 306, communication services 110, industrials 150, and materials 131, and financials 127. Healthcare has not been doing that great. Consumer staples, utilities. This may be the longest period of underperformance by healthcare that I remember. And that includes Hillary Care. So we'll see what happens going forward. But real estate is effectively flat for the decade, all right? And utilities are effectively flat. So, consumer staples and healthcare have lagged drastically by, 40 or 50%. So it's one of those things where, you've really had to be in the right group. And healthcare's had a couple runs. Energy's had a great run. If you would have bought it, like I said, if you would have bought it and we told you to on this show, you'd be, it's been a couple ExxonMobil's doubled, Chevron's up 60%. There was one small cap that we didn't mention on the air, but it was $12, it's now 60, so there's a lot of these names that have done very, very well. Some of the dividend stocks did well. But look, give yourself credit if you've been involved here. There's been some ups and downs, and I'm sure that it hasn't been fun, you know, and that's the key, I think, is that the money is still not in the market. Remember, we talked about outflows for almost basically 2.5 years. And by the way, we didn't have that many inflows before that. Okay. And now this week, I did notice that we had very few insider buys. We had mostly insider sells, and that's kind of interesting. But there's a couple other things we should talk about. And the McQuillan oscillators, went all the way down below 100, popped up on Friday. And there's a, you've probably never heard of this before, but you know, when you look at the VIX, it's the fear index. And the fear index broke below 18 for a short period of time, but there's something called the fear term, the VIX term, which is the 4-month moving average over the 1-month moving average. And that's at a level that usually has been a place to buy, okay? So, the put to call ratio is at 1.13. You know, when it gets over 1, you got to pay attention. This is, it's not 1.5 or, back in 2020, it was at 1.7, I think. That's when we pounded the table, by the way. In 2022, we talked about how high the put-to-call ratio was at the end of the year. So we're starting to see some things that might suggest, we're getting close to a bottom. Picking bottoms is very difficult to do. I will say this, that if you look weekly, the momentum's still overbought. And when you do break, when you break out from a base, this base goes all the way back to 2021 at the end of the year. So we went, we went down because that's kind of when the war started, the Ukraine war. And now we've broken out above that. The chances are we pull back a little bit. Okay. So keep that in mind. And I just say that the quadrant balance indicator, which Rob Schleimer talks about all the time, is at a point where, hey, it's much lower than we anticipated. One of those deals where, it was flashing a buy signal back in October, and now it's midway through. So, it's one of those things where you got to kind of wait on it. Although I think that there are certain stocks I would be buying today, and one of the things that we learned from our friends at Marshfield. And, they'll be in town June 6th and 7th. And by the way, it's a $250,000 investment to get involved with them now. So, but is what they do is they buy a little. And what they're trying to do is get the rounded bottom. And so they did that with several stocks in the last year, and they did it to perfection. So there we go. Anyway, everybody asked me about small caps. I like small caps. I think they're cheap. But the relative performance compared to the S&P 500 has not shown any signs of turning. However, that can happen very, very quickly. So I just think too many people are bullish out there. All right. You look at the AAII poll and contrary to what people are saying, they're 47.3% bulls and we're at 22% bears. So it's one of those things where I don't think you want to be, jumping on board of everything. And I just wait for things to pull back. If you love a stock and, it pulls back 27%, like, I bought some that particular stock Friday, buy a little. Don't buy it all. Okay? Buy a little bit here, buy a little bit there, and then, continue on. Okay? So, I think it's important that, you don't go hide in the closet when the market goes down, right? What you look for is, here's my buy list. So get our ADR list, get our top 30 global ideas, get our small cap list, get our dividend growth portfolio, our prime income list. Use those as, if you're doing your own work, if you're working with me, I know exactly what to buy. I bought a little bit Friday for some people who didn't own stuff, didn't own that. Okay. And, you know, we talked to him about it 3 or 4 years ago, and he didn't own it. But buy a little. Just buy a little, you know, because it's an election year. And there's only been one down election year since I've been in this business, and that's the Hanging Chad year. And by the way, that was the end of a major bull market. A structural bull market was ending at that point. So the fact that it was down, the structural bull market's still intact. And I've said that, and I've been saying that all along, okay? When we were down at the trend line, I still said, now's the time, okay? And so we're still in it. We're halfway up to the top of the trend line. Might go sideways for a while. You know, that's what happens. Nothing does exactly the way you want it to. It's that'd be too easy. Way too easy. But, you know, the U.S. dollar, I mean, it looks like to me it might be making a double top. That'd be very positive for commodities and industrial companies. And I think it's very important. Look, we got a list of industrial companies that, I mean, these guys have been hitting the cover off the ball. Dean Dre and the boys, they have just been, that data center thing that we talked about this summer was talking about liquid cooling. Now, that ain't, I guess that's technology. But the point is that most of those companies making that stuff are making industrial products also. So, but they've lifted off. They're up 40, 50, 60, couple of cases doubled. All right. So, I don't think this is going away, and people always, worry about a bull market. The more you worry, the more chances of the market going up. The more you hear negative news on CNBC, the more chances the market's going to go up, okay? So, there are some pretty smart people on CNBC, and if you know who they are, you might be able to take their viewpoint. And I certainly agree with that. But I think it's important that, we look at things carefully and say, hey, structural bull markets usually last 16 to 18 years. We think this started in 2016 at the end. We got some time left. All right. So just keep it all in the back of your mind and don't get too negative. I think the commodities are starting to look good. We talked about gold stocks. I love that idea. And by the way, that includes stuff like, the silver stocks and the copper stocks. They're all starting to break out. Copper futures are very close to breaking out. I don't know if they did. The copper stocks are a little bit ahead of the actual commodity, I think. So keep that in mind. But it's a good opportunity when you look at it, okay? So, I think people get overly bearish, and, that's not a good idea, going forward. You want to use down periods to buy, okay, is what I'm trying to get at in so many times. And I think base metals are, we'll talk about that. We have a great report on base metals if you like it. Let's take a break. This is the Smart Investor Show. Stay tuned.
Wouldn't it be nice to keep income rolling in even long after you retire? At RBC Wealth Management, we can help you invest for the future that you want and create a personalized plan to help you create the steadfast flow of income you'll need throughout your retirement. Call Tim Hayes at 216-774-8906. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC, member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC.
Let's face it. There's a reason Cleveland homes have a stormwater drain line.
Basement flooding can be a real issue thanks to Lake Erie and spring showers.
Now, we hope it's not a problem for your home, but if it is, you know what we're talking about.
And you probably have a sump pump installed, if not more.
What we'd love to do for you is inspect your sump pump for free, because we don't want you to discover problems after things get wet. We'll ensure your pump powers up, turns on, pumps water, is sized properly, and hasn't collected debris in the basin or sump. A full inspection at no cost to you.
And if any problems do turn up,
you'll have just saved yourself some real spring shower headaches.
And our straight-talking, hard-working, do-it-right plumbers will show you the issue.
And explain all your options for a fix. Because no Cleveland homeowner should get surprised by basement flooding.
So call for a free sump pump inspection and consider it done at WyattWorks.com.
When it comes to managing your retirement, it's easy to get lost. Look to RBC Wealth Management to guide you. Our experienced, knowledgeable financial advisors will build your investment strategy by designing a plan that's tailored to your unique financial needs. Call Tim Hayes at 216-774-8906. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC. Member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC. Visit rbcwealthmanagement.com.
All right. So I was just talking before the commercials about base metals. And, you know, normally this is a seasonally weak quarter for them. But we are getting some help from, you know, the higher metal prices. So I think, you know, we've been using shipping data, which is important, I think, because, you know, you can't fake shipping. so we have a thing called RBC Elements, and it's our in-house data science team. So we've been analyzing shipping data for selected ports to improve our estimates. And I think, you know, there's a lot of names out there that look good. And there's some that, you know, some ideas out there that I like a lot simply because of the fact that they have gold and they have copper. You know, and a lot of these names, people who are gold miners, you know, they get silver too. And they get other stuff that they funnel to other people who sell it off for them. So anyway, you know, I have a question here from, I don't know, he didn't leave his name. well, he said, Tim, what do you think about technology? I think technology is not going away. But remember, when interest rates go up, PE ratios go down, okay? So they will not pay up for long-term assets until they see a peak in the interest rates. And interest rates, I think the Fed has done a good job of talking them up when they need to instead of raising rates. And then, you know, Keshkari, I think, last week talked about actually raising rates. So, you know, they are jawboning the market pretty well. So I just think, you know, you have to be relatively patient. And look, technology is not going away. AI is not going away. All right. None of that stuff is going away. But they've had a good run. All right. So instead of going out and let's say you're a 500 share buyer or a 200 share buyer and you got Microsoft, all right, 25 shares now. Pulls back, buy 25 more. And then, you know, as it goes up, and then if you start to see a turn, buy 25 shares more. Turn some more, 25 more shares there, you know, get to your 200, that type of thing. But we are, you know, look, I think we're in this secular bull market, and this is, you know, goes back to the 30s, where we have periods of deflation and reflation and inflation and disinflation and deflation. Now we're reflating again. But these usually last 16 to 18 years. So, you know, you're looking at a peak somewhere near 2034, 10 years from now. Okay, may happen before that. I don't know, but don't let people get you too bullish or bearish. Okay, so when your gut's starting to hurt, it's a good time to buy. Okay, contrary to what most people were saying, if you don't feel good, look at the idea again. Okay, so look, there's been two or three major secular bull markets. In 1932, when the market bottomed there to the top in 1962 was 2,300%. And then from 1972 to 2000 was another 2,300%. So in 2034, if we get there and we just go up to 2,000%, We're looking at 14,000 on the S&P 500. Okay, that's a big number, considering where we are today. You know, most people are looking at the end of the world. I mean, we're at 4,900. That means we could double or triple our money. All right. So it's something to consider, and a lot of people are getting very, very bearish now. And I talked about the four-year cycle ad nauseum on this show. We're entering a new four-year cycle, which is usually a good thing, okay? And it is an election year. And I think the chances of we having a down year, an election year, are slim to none. Now, if the Fed steps back and says we're not going to do anything because it's political, that could cause a little bit of a, you know, disruption in the force, but we'll see. Okay, I think, you know, like we've always said on the election year stuff, if you look at October, and it's a down October, usually the incumbent's out. If it's a positive October, the incumbent's in. So right now, you know, it's where people are betting real money. It's even Steven, so we'll see what happens. But I think the key here is that don't get too bearish. In the meantime, we have a family inventory workbook, our wealth plan, dividend growth portfolio, small cap idea, our top global ideas. You can all get those by going to WHK's webpage, local podcast down to Smart Investor Show, directly to my webpage. While you're there, you know, there's all sorts of good stuff under our insight banner. So there's brand new, fresh ideas. But it says contact me, email me, we'll take it from there. This is the Smart Investor Show. I'm Tim Hayes. Remember to buy low, sell high.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Investor Hour. To reach Tim during the week, call him toll-free, 888-223-7742. That's 888-223-7742. Or visit his website, rbcwmfa.com/Tim Hayes. That's all one word in the address bar, rbcwfma.com/Tim Hayes. Please join us again next Saturday for the Smart Investor Hour to hear more smart investing from Tim Hayes of RBC Wealth Management.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.